opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening and welcome to Tando Radio Show. Today's date is August the 9th, 2017. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I know you were expecting to hear Brother Dave from LA, I don't want to give out his FEMA region because that will give you a general area of where Dave's broadcasting from. But no, it's me, Scotty, on the mic, filling in for Dave. Unfortunately, he had a death in the family. I'm sure he'll share those details later. He may have shared them in btrcommunity.com. So I will be sitting in for him. Now, today's supposed to be Wise Wednesday. It is Wise Wednesday. And I'm expecting Brother Davis to call in later. But I'm going to BTR Community, of course, and pull up the stories that he wanted to share with you today. Again, I heard from him today. He asked me if I would start his show, so it's a possibility that he could call in later. If not, again, today is Wise Wednesday, so Brother Davis is supposed to be our host. He spoke about it on yesterday's program. I do not remember the name or the title of that book that he said he wanted to guess do a book study or share some knowledge from this book that he has gleaned. So definitely looking forward to that. Always looking forward to the Davis team as they are part of the Black Talk Radio Network family and of course brought in through Tando Radio Show. So a little later today, I don't see him on the board. I guess I could also try to get in touch with him later on if I don't see him on the board after I get through today's news stories. But before we get into some of the news stories, and as we wait for Brother Davis to join us on this Wise Wednesday, again, it's August the 9th, 2017. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. My name is Scotty Reed, sitting in for Brother Dave from L.A. So, I do have the stories that he wanted to share with you. As you all know, regular listeners of the network, there's a lot going on in all the various people activities of the world. But as I've been tuning into some radio conversations today on that black radio circuit, war seems to be on people's mind a lot. Some of the stations, I should just say that, and some of the callers, but also coming from some of the news media, Trump making belligerent type unprofessional threats towards North Korea. So I do know people have been talking about that a lot today or in the past couple of days. Me, myself, I've really been focused in on the upcoming rally, Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Rally and March. But if you just type in your search engine, if you're connected online, obviously if you're listening to the program, type in Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. And that is the event that we have been talking about a lot on the network, including on Tando radio show. We're currently raising funds for the host and the producers and two other abolitionists to take a trip from South Carolina to Washington, D.C., meet up with abolitionists, activists from all over the country on August the 19th. That's just, 10 days away on a Saturday. Abolitionist activities starting at 11:30 a.m. Again, this is Washington, D.C., the D.C. area. And, we'll be out there going strong for about five and a half hours. The event is due to end at 5 p.m. Eastern time. If you missed my interview, not to plug my own program, but if you missed my interview last night on Black Talk Radio News, which is now live Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, my interview with the chairperson of the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee. She's the chairperson. That was Crystal Roundtree. That has been published. Of course, that podcast is up. I do have a shorter version that if you were tuned in earlier today to the station, you would have heard it on Tanya Free and Friends as I do a BTR radio or BTR news report and commentary for her every Wednesday. Her show is heard on the Black Talk Radio Network. That's Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show every Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So I guess that will be like 1 Central and what about 11 Pacific Standard Time. So definitely, you know, lots of interesting content found on the network. But if you missed the interview with Crystal Roundtree, please check that out. She shared a lot of details, and again, one of the things she mentioned is that her organization is still trying to raise funds, and New Abolition Black Talk Media Project, which is a supporting organization, is having its own fundraiser trying to raise funds to make sure we get a proper PA system. So you go read all about that at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You will see the New Abolitionist Radio fundraiser for the DC trip. BTR community, which Dave always talks about, for every membership to BTR community, the 1-year membership, just $24 a year subscription to that. You pay more for that name a number of things, right? So it's just like a magazine subscription, but it's social media. So, but all of that will go towards our New Abolitionist Radio DC trip. So, you know, definitely there's some incentive there. And of course, Dave mentioned that Tando Radio Show and ProsperityMint.com will provide a gift from their inventory, which will be given away in a raffle for all the donors, no matter how you donate it. Of course, we have your email addresses, or if you send it snail mail, we know how to get in touch with you. So if you win, whatever the gift is going to be from, in which they specialize in precious metals, go check them out, ProsperityMint.com. Of course, if you are interested in purchasing, you can just get in touch with Dave at wolfpack6@gmail.com. That's wolfpack6@gmail.com. All right, so yes, we do want to check out what he has listed. Again, Dave is not with us as of yet. There was a death in the family. I believe it's extended family. Well, I know it's extended family, so we do want to send our condolences out to Dave's wife's family and, of course, their family. So that's why I'm taking over for him today. I think we do have Brother Davis on the board. I see you, Brother Davis, and we'll come to you after we get through these news stories of the day. But before I get to news stories, let me check. Is this Brother Davis? Is this Brother Davis, the Team Davis, on the line?
Yes, it is. You got Team Davis, brother.
All right. Greetings to you and your lovely queen. And before I get into the news stories of the day, can you remind us of what today's Wise Wednesday book study, or the book you mentioned yesterday on Tando Radio Show? Can you give us a preview of that once again before we do the news stories?
Hey, actually, this is an exciting book. And the reason why the book is exciting is because it's going right directly to a problem that we all have as African Americans. The name of the book is called White Addiction: The Oppressed in League with the Oppressors. And it goes into a lot of great detail, which we're going to cover. But just keep in mind that this is dealing with all of us as a people. I mean, even I'm personally, even white people should read this book too. It's just that powerful. But we'll get into that after Scotty does the news. And I am raring to go. I got a little delayed, but I'm here now. And Scotty, whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
All right. Well, I knew you would come through. You never miss a Wise Wednesday. It has to be some kind of special emergency, sort of something like why Dave isn't here with us. So, again, want to send our condolences out to Dave's family and his extended family through his wife as they suffered a death in the family. And I'm sure he'll explain that if he does have a chance to call in, or if he has to talk to you at a later date. Because also, Tando Radio Show will be on vacation next week. That is, unless Brother Davis, I could still engineer Wise Wednesdays on Tando Radio Show, even though Dave is on vacation. So I'll get at you on that, Brother Davis, behind the scenes. But let's get into some of these news stories that Dave wanted to share with you today. If y'all missed yesterday's program, please check it out. Sister Kim Malanson, I may be pronouncing that correctly. She said it's okay to call her Sister Malancon, but I believe it's pronounced Kim Malanson. And her son, Dewanye Hickerson, who was the victim of rape by deception. So check out that podcast. There's a movement building. There's some energy being generated off of that. So check it out. Very informative, and things to consider, especially when I came across something on social media today. And these whole issues about LGBT, and if I got to call you a certain pronoun, yeah, that's what the status was, saying that they're going to make it offensive if you don't use side, or whatever the terms are they're using before a pronoun or what have you. And I'm like, you know, see, this, we're getting into people having their own perception of reality, and it's real. If it's real to them, that's their reality. But what they don't understand is that their perception of reality ends as far as their perception goes, and that, you know, my perception may be totally different. So technically, we living in two different worlds for all intents and purposes. And it's who's to say whose worldview is right or whose perception is right? But in a free society, people should be able to choose. So as long as your perception of reality doesn't try to force itself on my perception of reality, then we'll all get along, no problem. But in terms of rape by deception, there must be full disclosure. As soon as you know, and it doesn't have to be in person, making excuses of why not to tell someone. That we have email, you have telephone, and so, you know, you tell a person in a private, if it's going to, if it's moving towards intimate contact, because some people might, perception might, you know, not be able to tell that you're not a natural born woman and you're transitioning. And, you know, that goes for both sexes. So, I mean, it's very deep conversation and energy building up around that. But let's get into some of this news of the day. Of course, you can check all the podcasts of Tando Radio Show by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com and clicking on, hovering over Tando Radio Show menu listing, and it'll show you where the podcasts are. All right. So first story comes to you from CNN. Mattis to North Korea, stop actions that could lead to destruction of its people. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis issued a dramatic warning to North Korea to cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and destruction of its people on Wednesday, just one day after President Donald Trump warned that the U.S. could unleash fire and fury on Pyongyang. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, or Pyongyang. I'll just direct you to what Tanya Free and friends talked about that today. Their podcast is up on blacktalkradionetwork.com, or you can go to tanyafree.com and listen to today's show from. And I agree with them. All of this back and forth, Trump being belligerent, trying to bully people. The United States has a history of being a bully and threatening. So, I mean, these are acts of war right here. And see, they make it so that little countries like North Korea have to have nuclear weapons to just prevent you from imposing your system of slavery on them. And, you know, then we're getting into the propaganda warfare with corporate sites like CNN, when they calling it a regime. But if I ask a North Korean, they'll say, People's Government of North Korea, I think is what it's called, a People's Republic. Okay, so, you know, they play these word games. So that's something to keep your eye on in the Middle East. It is serious, because many of us have children and grandchildren and other relatives serving in the military, and neighbors and young men and women we saw grow up. And it was also stated earlier today on Tanya's show that they don't draft women. Now, Barack Obama was pushing for the draft to include women in a selective service, is what it's called. So whenever you're 18, you do it through the post office. You fill out a little card, and your name goes into the selective service, which is the pool of names if they ever implement a draft. And they also just recently, the Pentagon, that is, lift the ban on women's hairstyle in dreadlocks, specifically dealing with black women. So that, to me, is sending signals that they need a body. Some people might say fodder, cannon fodder. And I always try to tell people we want to give people so much supremacy in certain areas, but from where I'm looking at it and where I've been in the system, in the cogs I was part of, man, I don't see how it operates without non-white people participating. If non-white people woke up tomorrow morning and said, no, we are not going to shoot no missiles or any other thing of the sort attacking a country, just because they got nuclear weapons, and you ain't saying nothing about Israel with its nuclear weapons, or trying to make them sign any kind of treaty. They're not even a signatory to international nuclear treaties. But Iran at least entered into was willing to negotiate. And now, you know, Trump administration and the powers that be behind him are trying to blow that up. And all of this leads to war, a loss of life. That's from a vet, my perspective as a veteran. So, let me see. It's a new job to scare you. I'm not sure what this is, but I will open it up in YouTube. Something shared by a user that Dave posted. And yeah, it's not really showing it's just going to the channel. All right, so we'll skip that one and we'll go to the next one. He says, Dave says, be ready, any and everything could be on the table. North Korea says, considering strike on Guam after Trump warns of fire and fury. So like I mentioned earlier, this is kind of dominating the 24-hour, 48-hour, 36-hour news cycle right now. And American news media has always been a participant in beating the drum beats of war, beating the drums of war and calling for war and pushing for war. It was pretty disgusting when I was in the Gulf War to turn on CNN and, you know, they embedding reporters, and it's people tuning in to see people get killed is what they was tuning in for, to see death and destruction brought to you through your little idiot box. While, you know, it's people over there that's actually getting killed, but you watch. I mean, it's so desensitizing. That's the way I looked at it. Geraldo Rivera, I remember he was one of those over there. And yeah, so that's kind of sick, man. And all that's a lot of what we're seeing is the drum beats, because a lot of these companies may have defense related, tech industry related stocks. You know how these corporations get down. So maybe some, if Mike, you might have like a defense contractor, a private company. I can't think of any names right now. But they could own a newspaper. What's to stop them from buying a newspaper and then putting out their spin propaganda, beating the drums of war or whatever political social issue, how they want to frame it and turn it? Check out my also my interview with Baba Jahi Sidiwa, I believe is how you pronounce his name, but Baba Jahi, who was instrumental in the early survival of Black Talk Media Project, which of course manages Black Talk Radio Network. And he is part of a new media project, Black Media Project, the National Black Unity News. And this is actually going to be an actual paper you can get a subscription to. It'll be like a monthly, I guess you would call that like a periodical or a journal almost. I think he heard it be described. But I mean, this is a huge collaborative event. You can go to the podcast from last night and click on the link. You'll get to the website. But I mean, they've really put together a diverse group of Black people in covering the different sections of people activity. Like Baba Jahi's activity is travel, and how he mentioned, and it was mentioned on Tando radio show, how the when that young Black man was killed partying with his quote unquote friends in Greece, and then was beaten to death outside a bar in Greece, and the U.S. State Department did not issue any kind of travel advisory, not to Americans in general, and certainly not Black people specifically. And so we talked about, you know, the just the ways that Black people historically on this continent have been involved in print media, and now of course digital, you know, radio, print, blogs, all, you know, it's just so much easier now to get information. But they will do a digital copy as well as a hard copy. And we even discussed, you know, how do we get this into the hands of our sons and daughters, nieces and nephews who are in the military, as the subject, as Baba Jahi is a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, he discussed the papers that the Black owned and Black edited papers that they got a hold of. And so it was a great program. So check that out, packed full of information, because what you're getting from the corporate media, I guess I said all that to say, what you're getting from the corporate media depends on the corporation that owns it and how their paper wealth is divvied up in the forms of stocks and bonds, or however they are selling shares in their corporations. And then remember, a corporation can own a corporation, and that corporation can own another corporation. And I mean, it's like USA Inc. owns Unicor, the federal private prison. I still have not figured out where the profits go to. So it's definitely not going to the victims of modern slavery and human trafficking. Let me see. He also shared some Black Talk Radio news reports. Man sentenced for stabbing date 119 times after learning she was trans. That was a video that I had put out, but you could check that out on Black Talk Radio Network, or follow us on Black Talk Radio or Black Talk Media on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can even get podcasts of the radio programs there. So he's got a couple of stories related to that. Story, let me see, North Korea, more North Korea. Iranian drone comes close to U.S. fighter jet. What was I just talking about? The Iranians, right? You got Donald Trump out here disturbing the peace on a global scale. An unarmed Iranian drone came within 100 feet, which is 31 meters, of a U.S. Navy warplane as it prepared to land on an aircraft carrier in the Gulf, a U.S. official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said that despite repeated radio calls to stay clear of the U.S., and you can read the rest of this on Reuters, be wary of them too. They have been documented to have participated in the 1960-70 era COINTEL program, where they was disseminating government-produced propaganda, mostly from the FBI, certainly from the CIA as well. Gotta know your sources, and I mean not just the name of them, but their history. Many of these companies and corporations have, in fact, been around hundreds of years. If we're talking about media, if we're talking about media technology like television, then, you know, just go to the 50s and how were they moving, and how were, what was the ideology in the industry? So just want to tell people, you have to critically think about these stories. High positive high school coach faces his 15,000 years, did I read that? No, 1,500 years in prison for raping boys. I think I heard Dave talk about this story, or somebody else, HIV positive. Yeah, they talked about it yesterday. Dave brought this up, where, you know, it's just a sick world out here. People just don't care about your life. So again, this is people's right to their own space, right to their own reality, and to make decisions, and not allowing young people to be taken advantage of, and definitely not infected with AIDS, HIV, or any kind of disease you may be carrying. So you got a high school coach facing 1,500 years in prison for raping boys. Carlos D'Angelo, that's on a side note, this is why years ago I came to the conclusion that rape is not a gender issue. It's not a sex issue. I get confused about these things. I'm 50 years old, so the LGBT and all this terminology came out, you know, not that long ago, and all these different terms, and I'm supposed to keep up with them. No, I was born in 1966, not 2006. All right, so anyway, says that he could spend the rest of his life in prison for sexually abusing kids. Bell served as a high school track coach at Benjamin Stoddard Middle School and La Plata High School in Charles County, Maryland. While we'll be staying in Maryland, hopefully, if we can make it to the D.C. rally, we will be staying in the Maryland area. But instead of providing guidance to his students, he used his position to abuse young men. So we've seen this story countless and countless times in this society repeat itself. So that tells me something about the society as well as the individual, you would think. Well, I mean, with propaganda being what it is, and how some people have weak minds and easily able to be mind controlled through these devices and through the propaganda, you know, what a lot of people think is far-fetched is actually happening right now. So, but that says something about this society, that this story keeps getting repeated over and over in different segments of society. I did want to bring this up. This will be the last story I'll share, and then we'll bring on Brother Davis for Wise Wednesday. And he'll definitely close us out, taking us up to New Abolitionist Radio, coming on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We do have a special guest. We have a mother, and I'm actually still working on the promo for that, but we have a mother against slavery, and she is one of the millions for Prisoners' Human Rights, the mother of Tyree King, who was gunned down by a slave catcher. So she'll be joining us, I believe, during the first hour, and how she sees slavery as part of kind of getting closure. I guess, you know, working to abolish slavery, end slavery, and all these related symptoms of slavery, like slave catcher and slave catcher killing people, you can put your energy into the abolitionist movement, and that can bring you closure once the job is finished. So definitely looking forward to hearing her story and her role in this new abolitionist movement that has really taken off in the beginning of the 21st century, showing up in the underground in hip-hop, showing up in hip-hop music, artists, some known, some not so known, talking about slavery was never being abolished. Shout out to Khadijah Latif. All right, so, but this Venezuela story, lots of propaganda coming out on that. Now, think about this. This is what I thought about today. So the United States is accusing Venezuela. They're putting sanctions on the Venezuelan, let's just say Venezuelan officials and former officials, freezing their bank accounts or any assets that they got. You know, just slap these sanctions on there. Must have been passed by Congress or approved by Congress. So why did they do that? Because the president and the people that was in power, that was elected the last time, decided to have a what we would call in the United States a constitutional convention, or they voted to whether or not they wanted to have a constitutional convention. Venezuela has one of the most secure and highly rated, if you want to talk about democracy and every man vote count and one vote per person, they, by the international community standards, are what you should be shooting for. Yeah, so, you know, the United States telling a sovereign nation that we're going to slap sanctions on y'all if y'all vote to have a constitutional convention. While here in the United States, the Koch brothers and other corporations and different factions of the political area, libertarians, conservatives, other groups say, you know, they don't want to take part in it, but they're also trying to change the Constitution to limit money and political finance, right? So they're making all these moves, right? I don't see anybody in the U.S. getting sanctioned by the international community for even doing these things. Isn't this how democracy is supposed to work? I know that people say this is a socialist government, but that's in terms of, I guess, the financial system. I'm not an expert on these matters by any means. I just read a lot. But if you want to talk about in terms of democracy, if that means the vote, then who's more free or who's more running a democracy than Venezuela with their secure voting machines that give you a receipt, tell you who you voted for, what you voted for, and then you got a thumbprint scan to even vote. Man, that's some of the, and that's like technology that's been around for probably the past 20, 30 years. Why isn't it being used in the United States? So, yeah, that is a story or a situation in the world I've been keeping an eye on. So, without further delay, we want to bring on Brother Davis as he goes into a book study with us on this book. Let's bring up Brother Davis. Brother Davis, thank you. As I work my way through those news stories, and please, the floor is yours.
Excellent. My brothers and sisters, tonight is going to be an opportunity for us to brush shoulders with a book. Now, this book is so dynamic because it talks about the psychology of our circumstances being a people living in a state of oppression. Now, I know a lot of you are probably saying, well, I ain't oppressed. Well, that's the best part about oppression. You don't realize you're oppressed, and they know you're oppressed. You see, a lot of times we don't want to know the truth. There's I'm not a biblical person, but let me make this clear. Isaiah 28:15 states, "For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves." This speaks directly to the African-American situation here in America, because literally we come from Africa, which is the seat of the world's oldest civilization. It dates back millions of years, and our country lived in a interharmony with the world before the shadow was cast of white Europeans. See, in order to sustain a harmony, everybody had to be of the same accord. What is the same accord? The same level of respect and thought process, your foundation, which is in Christianity, the Ten Commandments and so forth. I'll just point that out to you so you understand what builds the foundation. What's the same? Before the savage onslaught of Europeans, who literally stripped the continent of its human and its natural resources. These people, and through our own real life, we know, have no apathy nor no malice. And they are very, very resident. Resident means they lack very little pigmentation in their skin. Now, when we look at the basis of how this country is won, that is very key. And the reason why it's very key is because in our relationship with them, we are literally in league with their oppression over us. And a lot of people would think, well, I'm not cooperating, but yet you are. See, we have taken on their value system. And in taking on their value system, we take on all of the onstruck connected to that value system. For since you were a child, you have taken on those things that you were taught by your examples, and your examples were forced upon them. You wouldn't have no insight into that. And the reason why you wouldn't was because they're not things that they really wanted to go around and tell. Why? Because when you live in a falsehood, and that's a false state of mind, what keeps your psychological balance is the fact that as long as it's not happening now, maybe. Okay, what it may be was predicated on this oppressor's state of mind. And you have to understand the dynamic of that statement, because you have gone to places, or maybe out to dinner, and someone that has nothing to do with you and looks nothing like you can affect your whole meal because of how they interact with you or what they may say to you. You see, that is a control. And that control they have is based on their ability to eliminate. And they don't eliminate one-on-one. No. They eliminate through a institutional construct. And this institutional construct could literally impose itself at any time or any place in your life. And even in dealing with this construct, as we grew up, we learned how to move in and out of it. So we would have as less abrasiveness as possible. Why? Because we took on that responsibility. It's a psychological effect here that has been so much a part of us, it's ingrained. And this disease, and that's what it is, make no mistake, this disease has caused us to emulate our oppressor. And here's the sad part. We emulate them so well that there are some of us who even forget that they are not them. So the magnitude of the disease is going very, very deep within the individual. Now, the reason why I'm coming to you with such a systematic statement of information about this book is because this is actually a workbook. And when you start applying some of the things in this workbook, and you begin to see with clarity some of their very issues that are in your face on a daily basis, from even people you work with. You will also begin to see how easily and frequently you just bat them away like a fly. Regardless of how it has affected you and how it will affect you in the future, that becomes your defense mechanism. See, that's why when you look at the concept of the statement, that statement says, "For we have made lies our refuge." So that means we tell ourselves things so that we can shield ourselves from that circumstance. And under falsehoods, under that lie, we have hit ourselves. Well, yeah, we got work to do. But here's the best part about a problem. That when you can find the problem, you can seek a solution. People get so caught up in the realities that they cannot change from their perspective or their thought process that they think they'll remain the same. No, they won't. There was a reason why people of melanated skin were placed on the earth first. We literally got off the track of finding that reason. Why? Because when the Europeans came on the scene, they literally took advantage of our nature, the nature to live in harmony. We're not a violent people. Although, since we emulate now, we have begun to see a rationale for the use of violence. Sad part about it is that because of their nature and us emulating them, we start to see a fair understanding as to why they are so aggressive when it comes to us. And I know you're saying, well, what do you mean? You know them. You know people who look like you to treat you the way they treat you. Because they can. You know somebody who got little authority from them and they change because they feel like they're now able do to you what has been done to them, not realizing psychological damage that it does to the person that they're aggressive with and themselves. So we're going to literally examine a lot of these things, and the reason why is because we don't realize that we are dealing with a abused child concept. See, an abused child has no control. It is victimized and it rationales its behavior so that it will not be victimized. And that's what we have done being in America. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Take the Colin Kaepernick situation. Now, Colin made a simple statement, and his statement was based on the morality of man. But the oppressor wanted to alter that because he doesn't want the world to see the truth. He's good at deception. He's a master of deception. Okay? So he takes Kaepernick's situation and makes it appear to be patriotic. It still hasn't changed what the truth is. But that is the narrative they use against this brother who literally stepped outside the confines of the system's control. In the meantime, there's a lot of people getting involved in this based on their egos and not really focusing on what the brother said in the first place. Now, when I say getting caught up in their egos, they're talking about, well, if they just bring him back as a player. Well, he could have been back as a player. What he was trying to do was wake us up to the truth that the system, the way it is set now, does not have anything to do with harboring the people that can make change for life to become better. Now, life will become better if they just accept the fact that, okay, these racist policemen are out of control. But the reason why they don't do that is because that's a direct attack against the institution of what they've established in order to instill fear, because they live in that very fear. Now, I want you to understand this. If you do not call, if you're not writing some of this stuff down, you stay in that cycle. Oh, yeah. Because you know what? The cycle is comfortable to a lot of people. And here goes another problem that we'll have in this battle of transitioning from a contained mind to a open mind. You have control over your mind's freedom, because you could literally read what you want, seek it out, and do your own due diligence. But they even try to control that. And the reason why they try to control that is because if you become a free thinker, you would not need them. And that's why they created things like money. I know. I want you to see how this all fits in. So there's certain parts that I'm not going into in great detail, but I want you to see your connection and how you're manipulated. Because they're doing the same thing right now with every other black player in the NFL. You heard Jerry Jones say if any one of his players decides that they're going to take a knee, they're off the roster. Now here's what that says. That says, if any of you black people have enough self-respect in yourself to take a knee and become a part of the greater whole of his idea on a platform like the NFL, and that's a world platform, by the way. People watch NFL football all over the world. That they were off the roster. You know the only reason why they do that is because if the world doesn't know, they can maintain the deception. Because all around the world, they control the image of black people. This shows they are not under control. This shows that they are independent thinkers. This shows that regardless of the circumstances around them, they can change it if they apply themselves in a sincere, firm, collective manner. And the reason why I say that like that is because there is no one black person that is immune to this behavior anywhere in the world. Did you hear how I said that? Anywhere there is colonization by Europeans, this is alive and well. It's so alive and well now that they're marketing it in the various ways. One is the prison industrial complex. Another is import export. The sad part about it is that we are not putting ourselves in a position where we can come together in peace and openly discuss this. Why? Because he wants to control the narrative. Well, let him control the narrative. But it doesn't control us. Because there are things that we can do as a people by just coming together and holding each other responsible for the basic thing, the integrity of a decision, the purpose of an idea, the rationale on achieving a particular plan. Why do I say a rationale? Because if there's a point in that plan that somebody can't make it today, we have to be able to fill that spot so the plan keeps moving. A lot of people talk about this love, but we got to love. No, you have to understand, love is a part of a dialect that was taught to you. The world and the universe is not based on love. It is based on universal harmony. Those who can junk work in conjunction with each other to get things done. The reason why it was taught to you as love is because they want you to be mentally beholden, when in reality, you should be mentally connected. My brothers and sisters, this goes a lot deeper than I'm giving you a specific quick synopsis of. But literally, we don't know how to be black. From the day you're born, you're taught to emulate. And you, who you're emulating is not who you are. I try to have conversations with my African brothers and sisters, and I talk to them about the moral character and how the rhythm of the house was, and what was done during the course of the day, to get a feel of what it is really and truly like to be an African with a greater emotional and psychological richness than we've ever had here, because we've never experienced it. So we have to be open enough to understand that when people say, oh, they're happy, a lot of them are not happy. Oh, we're having a joyous time, a lot of them are not joyous. You see, once again, those things can be purchased if they want you to have that appearance. We have to connect with ourselves to find ourselves. And we can't do this independently. You know why? Because it's an addiction. And like any other drug, if somebody has a chance to be quiet and alone, and they have the resources, a drug has power. You see, perfect example is drugs. We don't bring them into our neighborhoods. So yet we are the greatest victim of drugs, because they victimize us with the drug, they victimize us for having the drug, they victimize us for using the drug, and all they do is they take those victims and they put them in another category. The very category they said no longer exists is alive and well, and that's that so-called category of slavery. Because the 13th Amendment made sure that that was not going to be a disappearing creature. And it's alive and well today. And when you think about it, all of the things that they have taught us have been for our destruction. All of the education you got in school, you know, Columbus didn't discover America. Have you seen the Potomac River? Do you really think George Washington threw a silver dollar across the Potomac River? You see, all of these deceptions that we have been taught have literally left us in a state of confusion to try to compete with a people who never wanted you as competition. Because for those of you who know or can remember, or who have educated themselves to the degree of understanding that they never wanted us to be in schools. It took going into their legal system. And understand how I said that. Into their legal system. In order for us to get it legislated that we can be educated. That's bizarre. But these are the terms in which we are given that we have to deal with. And this is what makes the addiction so powerful in our community. And when I say addiction, I mean it's a serious addiction, because they have people riding through your communities that are heavily armed, who have no limit to what they can do. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I'm coming to you about an issue that affects us all one manner or another. Do we want to stay in that state of which we have no control, of which we can lose our lives because of being at the wrong place at the wrong time? Because we have to understand, we don't know freedom. Unless you do your own due diligence to free your mind, and you know how to go to a place where you can find peace without being intruded upon, you have no freedom. These things are available to us, and we have to really start working with each other so that we can build that which we have lost due to the circumstances in which we live under. And we can do that You know what's really unique? We can do that. And we could do that and openly discuss it with them. You know why? Because they don't want to discuss it. They really don't want to discuss it. What they want to do is make sure that you're not planning something against them. Because they always think it's about them. This is not about them. This is about us and the circumstance that they have created. And how we are going to fortify ourselves so that in the midst of this circumstance, in the process of them coming to the realization that we know now what we didn't know before, and we act now with an intelligence that greater reflects our understanding of them in a system, of a construct that is not designed to be here forever. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, y'all, and I hope by your phones, I hope you got questions, because there's a lot of information this brother has gone through to be able to point out the little things to you that you could literally utilize in your daily lives and work circumstances that would ordinarily be out of control to your favor. So I suggest, and I once again I'll say, the book is called Addicted to White, The Oppressed in League with the Oppressor, A Shame-Based Alliance. And I wanted to hold that to the ending so you'll understand the role you play, because it's shame, literally, that makes you do some of the things you do so that you can hide under the deception of the lie. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I hope that you are ready for the next hour, because the next hour I really want to touch on some things in our daily lives that we can do, and you can too. So pick up your phones, brothers and sisters, and Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. And I tell you, this is exciting. The reason why this is exciting, because a lot of this playing a role in our lives today. Let me read a statement called Control of Command. It was a documentary film. And in this says, perhaps unintentionally, but most assuredly, as the oppressor's avocation of the oppressed runs amok, as all behavior pathologies naturally do, he accelerates the day the oppressed are shaken from their slumber, no longer caring for life or limb, and challenge him to go ahead, make their day, so they can unleash Armageddon. Now, that's exactly what they've been doing. Have you ever noticed over the last 3 years, every time there's a gun show, the lines are long with those people? And they're talking like you're doing something that's going to hurt them. But the reason why they do that is because, once again, they live under the lie of deception. And the reason why they live under the lie of deception is because they fear when they don't have to. They choose to fear. See, they indict fear upon us, or upon the oppressed. But they choose to fear and then blame it on you. And the reason why they blame it on you is because they have such control over mass media. They pick and choose the way you are articulated to the public. They don't tell you about things about there's our school in Chicago who 100% of all black male school and all of them are going to college. You never see that on TV. And going to prominent universities. See what I'm saying? But that literally would change the narrative of people's opinion of black men.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
So what do they do? They particularly put that idea of oppression on black men by showing you pictures of black men in prison and long lines, showing you pictures of black men breaking the law. But this is not all black men. This is a minute group of people who gotten so caught up in the system they had to strike out in one way or another. I'm not justifying what they do, but I am pointing out to you that in your neighborhood, you can walk around and you know the people in your neighborhood who that may be up to no good and who may not be. But those oppressors that come in and police your neighborhood, don't nobody know nobody in your neighborhood. So as soon as they step in, they cast a shadow of negativity. Sad part about it is that once again, we're stuck in an onslaught in which we have to pay a tax that pays these people to come in and terrify our community. Are you understanding the dynamic of the abused child here? Because literally, politicians should be working to our advantage so that we can have equality or civility in our lives. But yet, in this system, there is no regard for civility in your life because it's already said that your life is not a high priority to us. That's why we have to take and do something different. That's why we have to work in conjunction to organize and facilitate our needs through the collaboration of our own resources. And that is not far-fetched. Because believe me, they're still going to feature the program of egotism and understanding. What does that mean? Egotism is you got a job. Understanding is you need your money for you. They don't want you to know that you can literally spend $4 or $5 every paycheck and pool that. And if 15, say 1,000 people do that, that's every payday, then you're getting $5,000, $10,000 a pop in your community to do what your community needs. And for those people who make more, they may want to put in more. And in conjunction with your taxes, you can build your schools. In conjunction with your taxes, you can build your hospitals. In conjunction with your taxes, you can rebuild your communities to be suitable for you. And in conjunction with your taxes, you can make demands that you never begun to realize you can make, because guess what? They want you to live in fear. And as long as you live in fear, you won't do anything. You see it. And when you go in the average neighborhood, you're going to see 3 or 4 liquor stores. You're going to see smoking signs all over. You're going to see stores that only have processed food. These are the poisons. They're forcing you to live with habits that are self-destructive, i.e. drugs, i.e. smoking, i.e. just eating to the point of gluttony. Literally, black people are not clients for diabetes. When you go to Africa, do you realize Africa's diabetes rate might be less than 1%? It's not common amongst black people. It's the diet that you eat that you are not knowledgeable enough to know. And listen, they put it in your face. Remember Monsanto's? Yeah, Monsanto said, well, we don't want you to label genetically modified foods, and we will pay billions to see that you don't. And that's what they did. If it was so good for you, why would they do that? You see, it requires something of us people. We must think in terms of what we're trying to do and where we're going, and we must think in terms of us all getting there. Will we? Probably not. But we can go ahead and do the things now by coming together. And when we're going to go grocery shopping, let's look at how many families are going to go grocery shopping. Let's look and see what they regularly shop at. Let's look and see where their money would go to the best usage. Because, you know, now we can build relationships since we're starting to collaborate. Go next door, knock on the door, say, well, look, you know, we need milk. And somebody next door comes down and says, yeah, you know, we need milk too, but we go across town. Well, why do you go across town? Because the milk that is sold in our neighborhood, that's irradiated milk. So therefore, there's a certain degree of radioactive residue in it. Don't take my word. Look it up. You see, when you start to make that transformation process, you have to look out for your best interest, because they've already demonstrated they're not going to. And we don't want them to get offended because we no longer want to deal with their product. They don't. Do you think for 1 minute that the people who are knowledgeable about the food system are out here buying the same stuff that you're buying? They are not. And the sad part about it is that the reason why they're not is because they know how destructive it is. What we must do is inform each other how destructive it is. I'm going to tell you how deep it goes, whether you want to know or not, because, see, this book literally points out natural laws that are being broken over your head every day. And the reason why is because you're uninformed. You know, they always say, well, you know, if you want something, you don't want black people to know something, put it in a book. Then when they begin to realize black people are reading, all of a sudden they change that dynamic. The reason why they change their dynamics is because they want the masses to have a lack of understanding. Sometimes you got to step over to somebody and say, excuse me, that product right there, you see this word here, glyphosate, that is a poison. You may not want to buy that product. Because then that person will look at you and say, really? And then say, pull out your smartphone and look that up. It'll tell you. You see, we have to educate each other without offending each other. And the sad part about it is that they are promoting our egos in every commercial you see on TV or you hear on the radio, because they want your ego to play a role. If your ego plays a role, you're going to look and say, well, it doesn't. I don't like the taste. See, because it's a product that you want. And all I'm trying to tell you is that it may not have the taste that you want. But that's why you have herbs and spices to tweak it the way you like it. But this product that you are choosing will kill you. And this is just how direct we have to be in our interaction with each other. I love you, but if I can't help you, I sure ain't going to let you hurt yourself if I can avoid it. And in doing so, we bring that harmony, that whole cycle back around. A lot of people keep saying, well, you know what? Black people won't ever this, won't ever that. That's because that's their mindset. Never let another man determine your destiny. Why? Because you should always have control over your destiny. If they come with good insight, understanding, then do consider it, because it may offer you a path that is less traveled, but would offer you more of your abundance of whatever it is you're looking for, whether it be freedom, whether it be the type of like-minded people. Because those are the type of people that are going to help you along the way and not hurt you. See? And we have to see ourselves as that, because once we begin to see ourselves as that, people will see us differently. But they're not now. You know why? Because we go to a store that don't nobody that owns those stores look like us. And we give them our money, knowing as soon as they close that door, they're going to take that money somewhere else. We need that money in our community. So what we need to do is go to them stores and say, okay, well, you need to get this, and this. Why? Because it's killing us. If you can't do no better than that, we won't shop here. You know what? They will change. The sad part about it is that a lot of times when you do that, you got to represent the community as a whole. How do you do that? You have to have meetings. Even if you're sitting on the porch and say, look here, Mabel, I'm sitting over here at Hattie's house. You know, we're talking about food. Mabel said, you know what, I got three kids too. What y'all talking about food? We talking about this glyphosate stuff. This is a poison that's in our food. What? Yeah, girl, come on over here. You see, we are educating ourselves so that when we decide to go to the store, we're looking and saying, well, you know what, I'm not going to buy that. So, well, when are you going to the grocery store? Oh, I need to go to the grocery store this weekend, girl, get some supplies. Well, I'm going to the grocery store, too. If we bring our monies together, we could probably buy more and spend it when we get home, and that way you would have more and I would have more, and we'd spend the same money. Or better yet, how much money are you spending for meat? Let's go to a farmer, and you give them your $100 or my $100, that's $200, and let's buy some chicken and buy some beef that was already corn fed. The farmer could tell us all about it. See, these are the dynamics that we are going to have to incorporate if we find ourselves going to move from the circumstances we're in. Because I'm going to tell you something about the circumstances you're in. It is deadly. And the only result of doing nothing is death. If we take an active role, we can change that dynamic. Totally. I'm talking to some people now. They want to get into investing some of their resources. So, through our own due diligence, we decide to club with silver. What we'll do is we'll buy a little silver here and a little silver there. And before you know it, we got to looking in and then, you know, there's a fluctuation of price in silver here. You know, if we buy at this price and hold on to it, it makes money for us. It gives us more of our own resource. So what if 10 people did that? That's big. What if a whole block did that? Oh, wow, now that is big. What if a whole community does it? Are y'all starting to see the dynamics of what is going on here? We can do this on every level. But we're going to have a degree of integrity that is going to allow us to say to each other, good morning, how are you today? Because literally, when you open up that door of conversation, people really want to be in the company of like-minded people. Now, there's going to be some harsh things that we're going to have to do. We've got to shut them phones off when they're not giving us the type of knowledge that we need, or when they limit our ability to get the knowledge that best serves our purpose. That's why I told you before about the apps to tell you what's in the food and how you could just scan it and it tells you about the food. Yeah, that's what you call contextual information. And we need those sort of tools. But the other tools we don't need. We don't need a video game on there that's going to waste our time while we play it. Unless you happen to be at a bus stop and you got time and you want to put your 10 or 15 minutes in that way and that gives you entertainment, then that serves a purpose. But if you're sitting in front of something all day long playing a game that does not intellectually stimulate you, does not put money in your pocket, does not allow you to make your time valuable, you are throwing your life away. And these are the things that we must change so that we can become stronger and be able to help one another. Because there's a lot of pain out there. But guess what? It was a lot of pain getting here. If you're going to take that pain, why not utilize it to your advantage? Don't internalize it. Utilize it. And I see people walk, oh, man, you didn't realize what they're doing to me at work. The only reason why they're doing it is because we have not done the things that will allow us to be able to work in a system that doesn't have to put up with that crap. Now, how do you do that? I know. Collaboration. It's always about collaboration with like-minded people. And listen, and let me be very clear. Those like-minded people don't always have to look like you. Some of them may not just live in your community. But we have to wake up to the fact that if we don't come forth with a grounds of being able to make the transformation to our advantage, we give away our livelihoods. And we stay in the position of an abused child. We do not have to have negative behavior controlling our lives. And as African Americans in America, we are addicted to the oppressor's white value system. And we must change that. We must predicate on building and get out of the narcissistic greed in which he's in. Constantly bombarding with us that leads to unjust behavior and negative activities in our own community. We must sit down and educate those brothers that you going out here buying those Newport cigarettes are going to not only kill you, but it takes $200 or $300 out of your pocket every year that you could do something with your family with, that they will find more joy, more comfort, and have you a lot longer. Purposes outweigh the cost. So we have to be prepared to pay the cost. And look, freely do so, because when you see your children coming back into the nest and they're looking at how they can become a part of what you're doing and how the community's transforming, that is their legacy. And we want them to have a pride and a dignity about their legacy. So when they go out in the world and people say, where you come from, they can smile with delight. Because right now we're letting other people determine the narrative of what goes on in our community. And you know, listen, when they said Chicago, y'all heard it, there was 100 shootings in Chicago over the weekend. Well, I got on the telephone, called a few people, and you know anybody got shot? You know what? Most of the people I talked to out of the Chicago area didn't know nobody got shot. So now we have to come down to the, is this a fallacy? In order for them to do something else. You see, that's what they always do. They create something to appear to be what it's not in order to push their agenda through. We have to understand that they were dealing with the organized system, so we must organize. We should get together on those days where their kids are having PTA meetings and everybody decide we're going to get there 15 minutes early. And in that 15 minutes that we're there, we're going to organize who's from our block. This from our block, they're from, and let the teachers know. You know why? Because that way the teachers are becoming involved in the fact that now these parents are being involved in the children's education. And they will give you, look, they'll open the school up. Demand it. Look, we got 15 streets going to be represented here tonight. We're trying to negotiate to get every 100% back parent activity. Participation. See, this is when you can go in with your own agenda and you can sit down there 15 or 20 minutes before and you can examine, is the school doing what it's needed to be to give your child the best education possible? What are you doing in your street? Do you have people who are performing under grade level? What are your plans or how you're dealing with that? Because we do, maybe we can collaborate those two classes. If you only got two kids and we got seven over here, why don't you bring yours over here, and that way during that tutorial time we can put those seven kids together and we can maximize our usage. There is a way, but we're going to have to organize. Perfect example, there's a march coming up. You heard it spoke about on the Black Talk Radio. You know that when they go, they're going to go to that march, and they're going to get as much information as they come in. When they get back, they're going to openly discuss that information, because guess what? It branches out. It branches out, and what they find out is going to touch every community. So literally, we should help them get to that march so that when they come back with the information, they don't have to worry about, well, what they had to do in order to do that. All they have to do is be there, so that they have the resources so they can get comfortable, organize their strategy, and work their strategy, and bring us back the material of our efforts. That way, we become more informed. Anything less, we stay in a system of oppression that's only going to oppress us. It's easy to say, I love you, but you know what? It's a whole lot more effective when you say, I can help you. And this is what we have to learn to say. I can help you. Oh, you're sick. I know. I feel bad for you. I'm praying for you. I don't need you to pray for me. My medicine cost me $80. There's five people on the block that need this medicine. Seven people want to make a contribution, and we almost have enough. See, that way we can help people educate themselves and bring the right foods in to get them off medicines. And that way that money can be used for something else. But they got to see that we're sincere, because we want sincerity out of them. See, because I agree with people, there may be three or four grandmothers. And them grandmothers will say, well, you know, I'm sitting at home during the day. I don't really have a plan. And here's two mothers down the street or two blocks over. They're having a problem finding babysitters for their kids. So you bring them together, let them sit down, let them talk, see if they can find a common ground. because through that there, that grandmother or two, those grandmothers might be able to come together and keep an eye on three or four children during that period of time and get a some sort of stipend so that they could be able to find joy in what they do, knowing they're going to get paid a few dollars that they did not expect to get. Because guess what? A lot of them said, well, you know, I didn't have plans for this, so if you guys are going to go do this here, let me add a few dollars here. Let me add a few dollars here. Because I'm going to tell you something. They control you. This system controls with money. Make no mistake. They know money can buy anything from your morality to your material. But if you are integral in what you apply, literally, the money only has the worth of a tool. And if you're not using that tool, you don't need that money. Sad part about it, and I say sad part about it, is because now we have to educate people to understand that money is not a god. And regardless of how much you have, you will never get it all, and you will never have enough. So we got to teach them that it's only a tool. We're taking the power that is controlling us away from them, and we're controlling it ourselves. And this is part of this process that we discuss in this book. And it also talks about holding each other accountable. Yeah, brother, I mean, you know better than this. You at work today, and you out here tonight falling off your step drunk. Look, let's sit up here in this chair and get some coffee in you. Before you know it, that next day, regardless of how you get through it, you'll say, you know what, I'm glad you got me to work. I didn't mean to do that last night, but now this person has begun to understand you're sincere about trying to build in a circumstance where everybody thinks that failure is the only result. Failure is not an acceptable option, because to us, it is death. And we are not ready to die. And that's the message we have to convey. And we not only have to convey it to each other, we will convey it externally to the people who see us change. Right now, we see neighborhoods being bought up. You know why? Because they have a plan and they're working their plan. They have these little programs that come on and say, flip that house. Come on down and we'll show you how to flip a house. Well, in reality, they're not trying to flip every house in that city. They're trying to flip certain houses in that city so that when they go in and start the transformation process, they make living there so expensive that those who literally used to live there got to move out. They got a plan. So what if we did something different? What if we decided that we're going to finance by the bulk, three or four houses at once? And that way, when we put people in them, we have three or four resources at once. And before you know it, when they start to talk about, well, you know, well, we're going to see if we can't sell these three or four houses down there, we can go out with other people and collaborate, and we can buy those three or four houses. Get other people and help them get us and renovate those houses and make them livable again. And even if not livable, tear them down so the tax costs will be minimal. They won't be utilizing no utilities, and you can control who moves in your neighborhood. But when we start doing this, when we start thinking and acting effectively, yes, they're going to notice. They're going to notice in a minute because they do it too. And then when you do that, you start buying your parts of our politicians. What do you mean by a politician? You find someone in your community that is like-minded, who understands what your community expects out of the school, what you expect out of the city, what you expect out of the police department, and you elect them into an office, and then you support them in every area of their endeavor, because they're coming back to you and say, okay, this is what I plan on doing, this is what I came up with, this is Alderman so-and-so said. So you would be in the mix of what is going on in your community. And you will not only be able to control it, but you will be effectively putting the people in office that are going to sustain your programs and your ideas. See, so we have to understand that a lot of times, that most minute things we never even think about. And the reason why we don't think about them is because the laws are designed to get us confused. So you get somebody who knows the law. There's a lot of black people coming out of college. study all the time, black lawyers and attorneys, but don't go to them begging. Go to them with something in your hand and say, okay, this is what I got to work with today. You tell me what this is going to cost. Let's implement this here and get this here started. And we will go together and we will find the resources so that we can make sure that you get your services rendered paid for and we can get what we expect out of your services. This is not rocket science, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you something. I love y'all. I love y'all so much that I know that if we start implementing some of these things and working together as a group, even if you start within your family, you can get some result that's going to make a difference. I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to change anything unless it's going to be more destructive to you. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how they smile in your face. They're about your destruction. And the sad part about it is that we never even consider trying to destroy them. And there's less of them than us. But you know what? That's what they tell their people. Oh, yeah, the blacks, Black Lives Matter is the most violent group. Now, I haven't heard Black Lives Matter. Now, I don't agree with Black Lives Matter with everything. But I ain't heard about them being violent about nothing, not carrying no guns to protesters or anything like that. I haven't heard none of that. But if you heard the latest NRA, should I say commercial, that's targeted at black people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, see, you have to understand when you go to that work every day, and you notice I stayed as far away from work because, see, I don't want you to think that I want you to move outside the system. No, I want you to work the system until the system can work for you. Because that is how we're going to work to our advantage. So when you go into that work that day and you sit back, you see that guy with that NRA sticker on his shirt, you say, you know what, did you see the last commercial? And they'll say, oh yeah, I seen the last commercial. I thought it was effective. And then they say, uh-huh. Because, see, they don't think past the byline. To them, the byline is we're going to go to war sooner or later. But they're not hearing that from us. The reason being is because we're not thinking about going to no war. We don't even want war. A lot of them don't want war. It's fear that makes them do what they do. And the sad part about it is that we are at a point where we don't even have time to fear. Why? Because we have to live within the confines of an abused child dealing with an abusive parent. This is Brother Davidson, the Wise Wednesday. Listen, we're coming up on the last segment. And the reason why I'm pointing that out to you is because y'all fail to realize the power that I'm giving you right now to be able to take control of your lives and see yourself through the lens that you create. I never said don't go with back and forth into the system, but don't let the system change you. Because when the system changes you, you are no longer effective help for us. And we need effective help. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on the last segment. Pick up your phones, because I'm going to tell you something. It's going to make a difference. Because if you don't, you become greater victims.
In 2008, the Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Oppression is a systematic, unjust, and cruel exercise of authority by one social group over and against another social group. The oppressor's behavior is characterized by genealogical results. Exploitation, punishment, miseducation, scapegoating, putting down, and restriction of opportunity is how you are controlled. The oppressed respond with a range of behaviors, including desperate protest, sulking, appeasement, apathy, rigid imitation of the oppressor. Does that mean? That means that you operate or act like them against those people who you see as less than you. And it's very easy because in their system, let's face it, white cake is angel food cake, chocolate cake is double food cake. You know the dynamic. And those people who think at that point where they even get some cake literally are coming from a very different angle altogether. They want you to think that everything white is good and superior or valuable, and everything black is bad and inferior or worthless. Does this sound like something that you've been living? Does this sound like something that's in your dynamic? The tangibles are valuable. Intangibles are worthless. Hence, things are to be pursued more vigorously than relationship. Are y'all getting this? These are the clues that allow you to see much clearly. Let me read that again. Tangibles are valuable. Intangibles are worthless. Hence, things that are pursued more vigorously in a relationship. But they're telling you they definitely want you to go after the material things, because if you go after the material things, they maintain their control over you. White oppressors are trustworthy recorders and interpreters of history and reality. You know that is a lie. See, that's why we must talk about these things. And these are all white values. Okay? Individualism is better than collectivism. Hence, obligations to the group are subordinate or limited. And it limits your personal being. They do this all the time. They put their resources together, but they're telling you in their value system not to. And a lot of people, they fall for that. Hey, well, I got mine. You heard it? That's on them. I got mine. 5. The best way to feel good about yourself is by surpassing, outdoing, and defeating someone else in an activity, achievement, or a personal characteristic. So that means you kick, step, run over, or trample upon. Get whatever it is that you want at whatever cost. And the sad part about it is, it's the character that is being changed. And the sad part of your character being changed is that you lose control. Those are 5 of the dynamics that are pointed out in this workbook. And the reason why I'm pointing them out to you is because I want you to see how much of a systematic hold that they have on us. Not one time did I try to give the impression as though we are trying to collaborate to attack white people. No. You know why? Because there's probably someone on this here radio show where it's going to interpret everything they hear to be negative. And they're going to go back and they're going to share it. And you know what? They're going to try to make Black Talk Radio something it's not. This ain't no news, it's got it. But we're disseminating knowledge that's going to help us become a better people. You understand how I said that? Because when we become better, we do not allow ourselves to be victimized, as well as being able to be collaborators for a greater purpose. That's the main push behind why I'm doing what I'm doing. To give you an idea about this brother who wrote this book, because I had a chance to talk to him face to face, well, not face to face, but voice to voice on the telephone. He's a psychologist, Jerome E. Fox. He's a PhD. He calls on black people around the world to take action in the insights and inspiring analyzation of race relationships that is offered by Addicted to White. Here, Dr. Fox studies white oppression and its effects on black culture and environment, suggesting that an addiction to five core values, which I've already spoken on, inherit promotes a tactic acceptable to white domination and may be the root of all the problems. Imagine being able to challenge race relationships forever with just a simple, sweep away from these five principles. Just moving away from these five principles. Dr. Fox knows it is possible to urge black people everywhere to start practicing recovery strategies now. And this is all this is. It's about recovery strategies. Now, he just gave you a synopsis of the book to give you some background on him. Dr. Jerome E. Fox, his PhD, is a clinical licensed psychiatrist. He's earned his bachelor's degree of arts at Cornell University and his doctorate's degree from Temple University. He's treated substance abuse for over 20 years and now focuses on writing and organizing around the theme of this book. So he has several other books coming out. And the reason why is because he knows this is not an easy task. I'm going to tell you how unique it is. And you think about this question when I asked you, because it threw me for a loop. How do black people act that are not under oppressed circumstances? And that's powerful, because we've never been without oppressed circumstances. You see the dynamic here? I mean, I literally, the question bothered me so much, I asked Africans born in Africa, what is it like to be live in a country where everybody looks like you? And they talk about the riches of the land and the camaraderie and the family and the foundation. You know, one brother had enough nerve to say to me, in Africa, every woman is respected. If you look at a woman with negative thoughts in your mind, in Africa, they believe you will act on them. So they teach their children early to respect all women, because the first woman you'll meet is your mother, and the next woman you'll know may be your sister. Is there somebody in the booth?
Yes, Brother Davis, can I be heard?
Yes, you can hear it. Could you state your name and where you calling from?
How you doing? This is Seymour down here in San Diego. I didn't really have a question or anything, so much of a comment. I just want to say thank you for the show. Incredibly powerful. And as always, you're dropping gems. Thank you for the book recommendation. I just bought it on Amazon, so hopefully it should be here soon. And I'm genuinely looking forward to reading it. And like you said, you know, as soon as you mentioned, I believe what you pointed out, like, you know, angel's food cake is white, you know, devil's cake is black. It just reminded me of an image and something that my mother told me, her mother told her, was that back in like the early 1900s, like way back when, vanilla ice cream used to be black. And then at some point in like along the way, they started adding like white food coloring. So that was white, and so now everyone just assumes vanilla is white, even though if you have like raw, you know, you can go to the store right now and buy raw vanilla beans, they're completely black, and you know, no one never really connects those two dots. But like I said, it just touched me personally, and I just wanted to say thank you for today's episode. And that was it.
Hey, my brother, thank you for calling and acknowledging. I'm glad that you're ordering the book. I'm gonna talk to Scotty in about the next month or so and see if we can have a class where those people who got the book, we can have a show where we can sit down at, for that hour or whatever, and converse about the book and the effects that it's had on their lives, and hold each other accountable. Because see, that's the main thing, brother. When we start literally collaborating like that, then we literally bring change to the forefront. I want to thank you for your call. I want to thank you for listening to the show. And most of all, I want to thank you for taking that step that's going to make a change in everybody's life, especially those that are around you. So, yeah, brother, anytime, call us, man. We always look forward to that. Is there anyone else in queue? Okay, well, let me get back on this because literally I think that just by listening to that brother there, this show has been effective for me. Because, see, sometimes we know that regardless of what you do, you may not touch everybody. But, see, if you could touch one and they could come back and converse with you and they've learned something or they pick something up out of that show and that they can literally apply that to their lives, that's a home run. And see, there's another show I'm planning where I'm bringing Africans in, and they're going to literally discuss what it's like to be African and not have to live under the oppression. They talk about things like I was telling you, of how they perceive women and how they would go out in the fields and they would work. And they also talk about Africa's perception here in the United States is totally wrong. So they have views they want to discuss with us. And they understand exactly, when I started talking about this book, they understood exactly what I was talking about, because literally, do you realize that when they come here to the United States, a lot of Africans think that money grows on trees? Absolutely. Look, knock me for a dude. And he said, yeah, he said, Africans think that when they get to the United States, they ain't nothing like milk and honey and money. And I said, yeah, well, what's the reality? He said, oh, brother, he said, it's good being here. You do have a lot of freedoms, but it's not really what we're told it is. I said, do you regret coming? He said, oh, no, we don't regret coming. We regret some of the things we learn. He said, like this racism is just blatant, and a lot of times the racism against each other. I said, yeah, I agree with you, brother. But that's why we have this dialogue, because now we're breaking down fences. And he said, okay, brother. He said, well, look, now you got my number. I said, yeah, I'm going to set up a contact file. When I do the show, I'm going to try to have at least 3 people on there of African origin, and maybe out of those 3, 1 or 2 women, because I want the perspective to go back and forth. Because see, we have to understand, we have never lived in a land that was not oppressed to the point where our family connection wasn't leveraged. And I'm going to tell you, some of the things that they were saying just about going out and gathering breakfast and coming back and cutting it up and just putting it on the ground on a cloth. And they come in, they sit down, and they eat their breakfast and everything, and then they go out to their various things, whether it's the job that they do, and those are different altogether. Or maybe they go to school, or maybe they're just going to help somebody. But literally, the community that they talk about is so far different than what we have been taught here, that I really want to share that with you. Another thing also, they talked about the medicine and food over here. It's not based, their diets are going to the roof. I mean, a lot of them have high blood pressure and everything. A lot of them literally are importing food from back home, because they understand now that a lot of their physical problems come from the fact that they're not eating the diets of back home. So it's not like they import the whole week's meal, but they might import 3 or 4 of their major dishes that they can cook. Because see, I'm going to tell you, Eric and I have a lot of African friends. And we have one friend, and she likes live chicken. She don't want no fat live chicken. She wants them that's just killed, and she likes them to have meat on them, but not to be excessively fat. And literally, she would shop. She took us places, and we took her to Indian stores and world markets. And when she found what she was looking for, she knew it, just looking at it. And she knew how to prepare that. And I'm going to tell you, she could cook too? Please. That was back in the days when I was eating chicken. But I'm going to tell you, it's a whole different world. You know what we call collard greens? They call it skumawiki. That's right. Skumawiki was the name that they called fresh greens. And they make the breads that they make, one of the favorite breads over there is called chapatis. And chapatis are delicious. Whether you wrap something in them, whether you eat them out of hand, whether you dip them, I'm going to tell you, it's an experience to be able to just enjoy the camaraderie of a culture that you know you are connected to, but the community is different. And the reason why I say that is because my wife and I, this is a side note, my wife and I went to a Kenyan barbecue. Now, for those of you who don't know, we had adopted a Kenyan son at 6 years old. Now, he's grown now, and he's in the service. Well, I wasn't crazy about that, but, I mean, I don't want to stand in his way. But we went to a barbecue, and there was a bunch of Kenyans there. Some of them we knew because they were involved in our social internet circles. But, I mean, just the camaraderie, the joy, the way they prepared the food, and they want you to eat. Oh, do they want you to eat? And listen, you are in for a treat because literally their flavors have such a vast array, from piping hot and spicy to a mild, soft, tender, and juicy. But, and everything in between, fruits, vegetables, every day. So literally they have a plethora of a diet. And most of the people who were there represented the community down in that area. Is there someone else in queue, or have we reached the end of the show? Hello? Okay, well, look, this is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. I'm going to tell you, I had an exciting day. And with this book, I mean, I'm finding more and more out about myself as well as my environment and what I can do. I would encourage everybody to please go out and get the book by Dr. Fox. Once again, it's called Addicted to White, The Oppressed, The League with the Oppressor, A Shame-Based Alliance. And that's a powerful statement there. I want to repeat that. It's a shame-based alliance, and we can change that. Dromie Fox, PhD, and it's available at Amazon, as you heard the brothers just say. And believe me, it's going to open some doors that we really didn't give a lot of thought to. And then listen, I even put this on the UK community to get some feedback from them, because most of them are from Africa, although other countries. Africa has 53 countries, so you see the dynamic there. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I enjoyed introducing this book to my audience, and I look forward to a time in the future in which we can have a radio show that focuses on the book and how we are operating it in our daily lives. This is Brother Davis. Brother Scotty, let me turn it back over to you, man. Oh, man. I still got more time? Okay, if I still got more time, let me add a little caveat. We fail to realize the important role that our inner lives of our youth. So we need to really turn them on to these sort of things too. And the reason why I want to put that in there is because everybody looks at our youth now as being wild and radical. They're not. They're really very intelligent. But they're not having anybody come and talk to them to open the door so that they can literally display the type of knowledge that they have. And when they do, believe me, you'll be surprised, because they're not who they're portrayed to be. But if they're not given that guidance, if they're not having that person come to them and say, hey, man, I seen you hanging out over there. I hope everything's all right. Or just walk up to them and introduce yourself. That is a form of respect. And these are the things we got to do to move forward as a people. Hey, Brother Scotty, are you on yet?
Yeah, you have until like 5 minutes till the top of the hour. So you still got about 6 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, let me end in that 5 minutes. Everybody that I've openly discussed these things with, some of them are a little bit offended. Why are they a little bit offended? Because they didn't see as clearly as this book makes it to you. I mean, this book brings the concepts of Dr. Nellie Fuller into play, and I didn't want to go there because Dr. Nellie Fuller talks about racism and white supremacy, and if you don't understand the concept, everything else you think you know, it's just confusing to you. So I didn't want to go there because literally that would require more time, because a lot of people think they know what's going on. I thought I knew what's going on. But from reading stuff like Dr. Nellie Fuller's book and reading Dr. Fox's book and keeping my ear in the air, I'm finding out there's so much information out there that can be a tool for us. Now, one of the things that I really want to encourage, please, try to do more reading. get your children to do reading. I take, matter of fact, the last time I was home, I took all my grandchildren and we went to the bookstore and we exchanged old books for new books, because I wanted to understand there's a whole world out here that you can only experience through either going out and be a part of it or reading to learn as much of it as possible. So I opened the door to reading and we have open discussion. And I'm planning something now that when we do it, while we ride, we're going to be. And the reason why is because I'm going to make it a game. And I'm going to make sure that they excel and want to excel. Because that way I can move them further along the path of self-discovery. And that's what it's about, my brothers and sisters. It's about self-discovery. And when we do this right, we can take control back. And believe me, our lives are a lot better in our hands than in the hands it's in now, because it's a roller coaster ride. And believe me, I'm going to tell you something. I am looking forward to when I come off the road and I'm settled back at the farm and I can do some things there, as well as maybe even open up a school. I'm discussing that idea and bringing in the three R's and maybe some metaphysics, some yoga, some Tai Chi. These are the things that are going to be tools in the future that we need our children to be well-rounded so that they can expand outwardly. Reading is fundamental. We must teach our children to read, because reading is a way of self-learning. And if they do not have that tool, they can be told anything and they will do it, because literally they're not thinking independently enough to do what is in their best interest. So this is Brother Davis, and I always encourage you, when you ever listen to my show, sit down with a pencil and piece of paper and write down some of the nuances so that you can do your own due diligence and be able to come forth in your own areas of discussion and grow by the people that you're with and the people who share your time with. Because one of the things that is most important is that we grow. As long as we're alive, we should be growing. We should never let nothing get in between the fact that we need to constantly be expanding ourselves so that we can be the seed that our children expand upon. Okay, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. This is Brother Davis out on the Wise Wednesday. We got the Abolitionist Radio coming up next with Brother Scotty and Max Parkus. And they're getting ready to do some major things. I'm looking forward to listening to the show. Me and my wife are talking about helping. We're going to find out how we can do this here tonight. Our schedule is crazy. Believe me, I mean, after the show tonight, we got to snatch a load and jump back on the road going somewhere else. But so I'll tell you that because we're planning to get out of this here, and when we do, we will be much more comfortable in what we have ahead of us and not look behind us, because that's what we used to build to where we're going. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday, Black Talk Radio, and I'd like to thank you for coming and enduring, and I, on behalf of my wife, would like to say thank you very much, and back to you, Scotty.
All right, thank you, Brother Davis. Brother Braggs, if you're on the board, will you chime us out so we can transition to New Abolitionist Radio? Make sure you stay tuned for tonight's broadcast as we speak to a victim and a new abolitionist in this 21st century. I believe it's the mother of Tyree King. All right, Brother Braggs.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.